Exploring and Applying the Parables, Parver Press. The Parable of the Mustard Seed, continued. From Jerusalem to the end of the earth. Following the stoning of Stephen, the Jewish believers were persecuted and scattered from Jerusalem far and wide. They preached the gospel wherever they went. Philip preached to the Samaritans and by divine appointment shared the same gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. Although it ran counter to all his Jewish background, by a dramatic vision it was made plain to Peter that the approaching invitation to preach to a Roman soldier, Cornelius, and to his household, was of God. Obeying the vision, Peter brought the gospel to these non-Jewish people and saw for himself the unmistakable signs of the coming of the kingdom of God. Some of the believers preached the gospel to the Greek-speaking people of Antioch, among whom, again, God did a mighty work, so much so that Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem to see if it was genuine. He found it to be clearly a work of grace, the kingdom of God truly planted among Gentile people. Barnabas needed help to tend and teach this new and God-owned branch of the growing mustard tree. He brought Paul from Tarsus, and they labored together until that church, where believers were first called Christians, found itself called of God to send first Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, as missionaries throughout the Roman Empire. Within a few years, there were many Gentile branches of God's mustard tree, nurtured and defended from error, taught and looked after by the apostles. Those of us who are Gentile non-Jewish Christians can be in danger of overlooking the great contribution of these Jewish people. We owe so much to these faithful members of the Jewish believing church who shared the gospel and who nurtured those whom the Lord called to himself from among the non-Jewish people. In doing so, they planted the seed for the Lord God's great harvest among the nations. Let's pick up a New Testament and see how much of it has come to us by the labours of, for example, the apostles Peter and Paul. Read the Acts and the Epistles and see what it cost these early Jewish members of God's mustard tree to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. Here is clear and undeniable proof that the Messiah is indeed, as Simeon had said, the glory of your people Israel. But by the grace of God, he is also a light for revelation to the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles. How is the Lord God sowing and growing his mustard tree today? The Lord Jesus was constantly sowing the seed of the kingdom of God in the lives of those with whom he spoke, and those he healed and helped. He knew all about them. He opened the eyes of Nathanael simply by addressing him as an Israelite without guile, and of the Samaritan woman by telling her that she had 5 husbands, and that the man she now lived with was not her husband. As a result of those words, she and later the whole Samaritan village believed him to be the true Messiah. These are New Testament accounts of small and apparently insignificant seeds of the kingdom of God that our Lord sowed in the minds and hearts of individual people. This is the principal way in which the Lord God grows his kingdom. It may be just a phrase, or a few words read in a hymn, or a tract, or in a book, or in the Bible. It could be the God-owned words of a faithful preacher, writer, broadcaster, or public speaker. We could be stirred by the care or kindness with which we've been treated. In such apparently insignificant ways, the Lord God sows the seed of his kingdom in our hearts and minds. The thoughts and questions arising from such an encounter challenge and disturb us. We find that we are hungry to discover more. And God begins to open our eyes to see the kingdom of heaven. Slowly we discover from the New Testament, as did John Newton, that we have been completely unaware of our true and desperate situation before Almighty God, and then go on to discover with wonder the way of forgiveness and cleansing that he has provided for us in his Son, known to those of us who are Gentiles as the Lord Jesus. Here is yet another sharp and personal challenge presented by the parable. Has the Lord God sown the seed of his kingdom in our hearts and lives? Do you count yourself eternally grateful for that gospel warning, phrase or word that the Lord God first planted in your heart? It may have been something you read, saw or heard, some words or some act of kindness, a word that so challenged and stirred you that you had to ask, seek, inquire, step forward, pray, or, as in times of revival, cry out to the Lord until the kingdom of God began to take root in your life. If it was genuine and has been nurtured by prayerful reading of the scriptures and by the encouragement of fellow believers, it will be like the seed growing or like the yeast at work, bringing the whole of life under the saving rule and kingship of the Lord God. Little by little, as we grow in grace and understanding, love of the scriptures and the ways of God, it will lift heavenward our attitudes and priorities, our aims and concerns, our use of time and money, our career and friendships. Under the hand of God, we may grow into a godly bush in the garden of our own home, as did Susanna Wesley, faithfully bringing up her many children. Or we may grow into a mighty tree in the field of God's world, as did her sons, John and Charles Wesley, and their contemporary, George Whitfield. Where are we today? How greatly has the mustard tree grown? Clearly, the kingdom of God, the mustard tree, continues to grow. There are genuine believers to be found on every continent. In some situations, the mustard tree is growing fast. In other places, it is static, declining, or actively being squeezed out or suppressed. Many times, the Lord Jesus directly and by parable warned of tribulation, and by the parable of the widow and the judge, urged disciples to hold fast, to watch and pray, and await the vindication of God. He made plain how hard it might be by the sombre addition, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" What a great challenge this is to every current member of the kingdom of God, each one of us in our own sphere. Are we able to encourage one another to hold fast and to uphold and promote godly ways in a hostile world? Are the people in our care benefiting from our godly fair-mindedness, patience, kindness and mercy? Are they able to safely shelter in our branches? Are we willing to play our part to the glory of God? Here lies the great work of the whole people of God, the mustard tree, that is his church. Certainly, it is called to be a place of refuge, safety, and mutual encouragement for disciples, but also to be a witness to the world. Each of us is called to reach out by our lives and by our words to those around us with the gospel, and then to encourage them to grow in grace and in knowledge and understanding of the ways of God, and in humble obedience to his Son. Just like the grain of mustard seed, when it has been sown, the kingdom of God, faithfully lived and proclaimed, has a dynamic power of its own, the power of God. Pray, therefore, that the Lord God would restore and revitalize his church. Pray that he would stir, thrill, and revive his people, and so enable us to live as vigorous branches of the mustard tree in our own day and society. Pray that he would fill each true member of his kingdom afresh with his Holy Spirit, and he would stir up that first love, for his risen, reigning, and soon returning Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. Where will it end? What a thrilling prophetic picture this parable gives us of God first sowing and then growing his kingdom. The Lord God sent his one and only Son to live among his ancient people, to help and to heal, to teach, and finally to lay down his life on the cross, in order to fulfill his Father's purpose of establishing the kingdom. The Lord God continued to grow his kingdom, first in the lives of the disciples, and then, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, among Jewish and non-Jewish people throughout the Roman Empire. Finally, the branches of the mustard tree would, and indeed have, spread throughout the world. Looking to the future, in the light of Ezekiel's prophecy concerning the cedar tree, the parable gives us a glimpse of the day when the purposes of God for his kingdom will be fulfilled. The day when everything will be placed under the rule and authority of his beloved and anointed Son, the Messiah. The Apostle John's vision in the book of Revelation is of a people ransomed by the blood of the Lamb, the cross of the Lord Jesus, from every language and tribe and nation. And so it will be when the Lord Jesus returns. But before that time, the apostle speaks of a great turning among God's ancient people. No wonder Paul spoke with such excitement as he wrote of the day when all Israel will be saved, being life from the dead. Heavenly Father, by your grace and forgiveness, cause each one of us, by repentance and faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a living part of your mustard tree. Fill us with gratitude and joy, and stir us to be truly caught up in your purposes and actively part of your worldwide kingdom, your mustard tree.